The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we want to welcome you in tonight to the fastest 2 hours in radio at YSR, as we have got a very big show ahead as we gear up for the start of the college football season, and certainly tremendous anticipation with the college football playoff as it makes its debut in 2014. We're going to start things off tonight in the Big 12 Conference, heading to Fort Worth to visit with TCU's head football coach, and that is Gary Patterson, who is back by popular demand. It's great to have you with us tonight on this Friday at Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Gary?
I'm great, Alyssa. How are you? Everything good?
Absolutely. We're doing fantastic. And I want to quickly recap for all of our listeners. The 2013 season, last year you guys finished with a 4-8 record overall, 2-7 in Big 12 conference play. And there is no doubt last year, Gary, it was a long season. It was difficult. And it was very uncharacteristic of the teams that you've had in the standard. As you evaluated those results, what were the biggest offseason goals and objectives that needed to be addressed?
Well, win more games. You know, we lost 5 games by about a total of 11 points. And so you've got to, you know, find a way to make those 4 or 5 or 6 plays that that would change that around. And, you know, we have most of our team coming back. So for us, you know, everybody, you went back. I started with myself. What could I have done? Obviously, you know, we changed a little bit of philosophy on offense. We felt like to even the playing field a little bit. In this league, you've got to be able to score points. You've got to be able to really move the football up and down the field. And obviously, we got to keep doing on defense what we've been able to do the first 2 years in the Big 12. So outside of that, you know, we don't feel like the system was broken. You know, we were too close in too many ball games. And so we're going to keep doing what we do and find a way to come on the other side of that scoreboard.
Well, Gary, of course, this is your 14th season as the head coach. You are the all-time winningest coach. You've won over 73% of your games. In fact, you rank 7th nationally among active coaches. How difficult was that for you to stay positive when things weren't going your way?
Well, you know, obviously, you're used to it. You put your kids, you know, they have to get used to it. You know, when they're not accustomed to those kind of things happening, and how do you change them? And I think what you do is you got to stay from the top. From myself and then our staff, and you know, stay the course and do the things you need to do, and all the way to, you know, even the last ball game of the season of having a chance to win, you know, in the final seconds. You know, I think those are kind of sometimes tougher than blowouts. And so for us, you know, we've been together for a long time, so we've been through the lows and the highs, and understanding you got a great university, a great thing to sell, great kids, good players, great degree, and so. You know, we backed it up and got out of season, and the only way I know how is to go right back to work and make sure that anything that we screwed up, we need to tweak would make us better. So we looked around the nation and asked a lot of questions and you know, changed a couple of things. But as a general rule, you know, the foundation stayed the same.
Well, Gary, you're exactly right, because you did not waste any time. You made some swift changes in terms of with your coaching staff. You have the addition of 2 new offensive coordinators. What can we anticipate? Tell us about Doug and Sony.
Well, number one, you know, they come from, you know, I'm a guy that believes you go to places when you want to learn something that they've done more with less. You know, both Oklahoma State and Texas Tech, both were these guys cut their teeth. Both have raised their programs. You know, the offense is. Sonny grew up as a quarterback, as a player, and as a coach under Coach Leach. That's been successful everywhere he's been. And then Coach Meacham being an offensive line player, and then also that, and then being a coordinator and running that style of an offense too. knowing that you can run the football, but really vertically challenge people. And they've been, and I needed great recruiters in the Metroplex, and both of those guys have been, and they've been great. They're a great complement to each other in their personalities and what they do, and they've really kind of bought into TCU's traditions and what we're about and the people. And so, you know, and when you bring in good people to work hard, you know, usually all the rest of it goes a lot easier. So obviously we'll be judged by wins and losses and do all that, but they've been a pleasure to be around.
Well, they sound like, as you're talking about, blue-collar guys. They really get after it. How have they meshed in with your staff?
Yeah, it's been great, even from the very beginning. You know, mm-hmm. Again, when you have good people, they're considerate with others, and they know how to work hard, and that's one of the things we do here as a staff and everything else, and whether it's recruiting, dealing with people, or anything else that you do. And it's been a lot of fun. I think the community has embraced them. Their guys can get out and talk and be around people, and really people enjoy being around them. And they have great families, not only just their immediate family, but, you know, their mothers and dads and everybody that have been a part of, you know, this area. So Sonny and all of them grew up where they grew up, close from West Texas. So it was very easy for them to be. They'd been to Fort Worth before.
The start of the college football season, it is just around the corner. We're going one-on-one with TCU's head football coach, and that, of course, is Gary Patterson. And obviously, Gary, one of the keys to your success, it starts at the quarterback slot, the quarterback position. A lot of speculation in terms of who will be that guy. Who's going to be your starting quarterback?
Well, you know, we're going to see. You know, we feel like there's five guys here, and really it's been, I think, a great summer. You know, Matt Jogel coming in and transfer from A&M has really been a guy that's ran this offense, and I think he's up the stakes. For our guys, enough. You know, Trayvon, we thought was a little big. He's actually lost from about 220 pounds to where he's about 205, 202, which looks faster and quicker than he's ever looked since he's been here. Then you put Zach Allen, then also the two freshmen, Foster Sawyer and Grayson Muhlstein, both highly touted quarterbacks coming out of high school, and all of them being here this summer. It's been fun. You can already tell just by listening to them that they're already meshing together. Even from where we were in the spring, at the end of spring, to where we are now throwing the football, that the wide receivers, the running backs, and they really feel a lot better about where we are right now. Just listen to them when they come in, and so and then you get a chance to ask them questions. So I'm excited about, you know, seeing it myself when we start up on August 3rd and seeing how it goes. But we're going to find the guy that can help us win ball games. You know, has a swagger. They say good players make other people. How you judge them is how they make. How well the other people around them play, and that's the guy that we need to find. How does that guy that makes everybody else play better and look better and so we can win games?
Gary, tell us some more about Matt Jokel. Obviously, you have this new dramatic look offensively. I know Frog fans are fired up about him. He looks like he'll be quite an asset for your program, but you got to love the fact that this is a guy that spent the last 2 years backing up Heisman winner Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M.
Well, you know, Matt's just an unbelievable young man. You know, he's already graduated with a business degree from A&M. I think he's already taken the LSATs as far as, you know, I think if the NFL or the college and then the NFL situation doesn't turn out for him, you know, I think he wants to go to law school if he does that. And so, guy that comes in that knows how to, really likes to watch a lot of film on his own, likes to go out and throw receivers, you know, really he's come in with he changed school so he had an opportunity to be the starter. And so, you know, this is his chance to, final chance as a senior to do that. And, you know, he's run this kind of system before. You know, he's thrown a lot more balls in this system than any of the rest of the coach, the quarterbacks have. And so for us, you know, he's really changed it. You know, his mom and dad, actually, they live in Arlington, but they have offices here in Fort Worth. They're part of his sister, played volleyball here at TCU. And so for us, it's, you know, it was a slam dunk. The whole family being in, they've already been Horned Frogs, you know, part of them. And for them to be around us and him to be out there really gives you a guy that's already seen a lot of different things from, you know, SEC defenses. And so it'll be fun. It'll be fun to see how the whole thing goes. You know, the competition level always makes everybody better, and I think already this summer it's already done that.
It's our 2014 preview on TCU football with head coach Gary Patterson. We're going to step aside for a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with much more at Yahoo Sports Radio. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, as we continue on with our conversation with TCU head coach Gary Patterson. Of course, before the break, we were talking about Matt Jokel, the transfer from Texas A&M, and wondering, Gary, you know, does he understand the expectations that you have from him within this program?
Well, you know, I think one of the things he's been really excited about is how, you know, our system here, how we work and how we do off season and everything. I think he's really liked it. He's for him and how he goes about, and you know, his brother Luke has been, you know, we've had 14 to 20 of our NFL guys plus other NFL guys working out in our weight room here after OTAs here in June, here in July, and so they've all been around, and so yeah, it's just really flowed very well. What's going on, and you know, anytime kids, I've always said when people are happy and it's quiet off the field, usually have a good football team on the field. And you know, this is the first time here in a couple of years has been like that. We've gone in 17 years I've been here. We've been through, you know, the highs and the lows when it's come to off the field type situations. More of the highs than we've had the lows, but here in the last couple of years, but this is a lot more mature football team, and I think he's really enjoyed this football team and being around it. And, you know, all you can do is listen to what they have to say and tell you how their experiences, all these guys are. When you have Matt, you have an Andy that comes back with all the Bengal wide receivers here for a couple days. And then you have, you know, Luke Jokel that comes in, and A&M, you know, first rounder, back working out here. You have at Fox, you know, which played at Miami, that is from North Crowley, that that's back working in our weight room, along with, you know, the David Hawthorns, the Colin Joneses, Marcus Cannons, Robert, you know, Mr. Newhouse, and guys like that. It's really hard to not have a good time and really enjoy being around all the kids.
Well, there's no doubt, intriguing contenders for that quarterback slot and position. Talk to me some more about Trevon Boykin. I mean, he enters the season with perhaps the most experience than anyone else on the roster. We know how valuable he is, Gary, with his athleticism, how strong he is. But what were some of those discernible areas that you wanted him to clean up coming into the 2014 season?
Well, number one, you just can't turn the ball over. You know, the key is to operate the offense, and you can't throw interceptions. And, you know, it's not always about being a great play. You know, Trevon's got a great arm. He's an unbelievable athlete. I mean, he can play several positions on this football team. It's just to understand, you know, you got to do it a little at a time. You got to be able to manage the game. I think that's the biggest thing that he had to learn. He came in as a young kid coming into college. I think he was 16, just turned 17 when he was here.
Uh-huh.
And so he, you know, he's been young as far as doing that. He's just starting to grow up. And, you know, really it's been fun. You know, he loves to compete, which is what all coaches like to see, you know, and how we do it. Even if he is not the starting quarterback, he'll still have packages just because, and he'll be able to throw the whole offense and be able to run some of the things offense run-wise, game-wise, that maybe some of the other quarterbacks cannot do as well. And so, you know, he will be a weapon from very many different areas doing the things we need to do.
Well, there's a lot of things to love about him, especially his versatility. And, Gary, I know that you're a defensive guy. What is your take on just the trend, the recent takeover of these quick-tempo offenses? Obviously, we've seen so much of that even within the Big 12 Conference. They've grown in popularity. What are some of the challenges that you face?
Well, no one would like, here's the thing, no one would like to do their business where they had to make a decision every 6 seconds. And that's what defensive coordinators now have to do in college football with the quick up-tempo offenses. They're going to try to get it up, get it snapped within 6 seconds. So you basically got to make 60 to 80 calls in about a three-hour period, and it's going to, you know, decide your future. And so I'm not sure very many people would, in their business line of work, would like doing that where they couldn't do a little bit more intel. But that's what we do, and you go about your business. But they've changed things. You don't get a chance to think. You've got to be a lot more prepared as a defensive coordinator to if you want to be multiple, to get lined up and get your kids lined up and get them ready to go, because it's really what they know, not what you do. And so how you get them prepared to do that is very important.
Okay, Gary Patterson joining us just for a few more moments at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. And one of the guys, Gary, while we've got you on tonight's program, I definitely want to get an update on, give us the pulse on Brandon Carter. I know he had some personal issues to address. Does he have a renewed focus and an outlook? Hopefully, this is a young man that is getting back on track.
Well, he's a guy that just has to finish up academically, you know, and that'll decide whether he is or he's not going to be part of our season this year. And so that's really all you can do to talk about it. He's a, you know, he's a guy that, you know, obviously everybody knows has a lot of talent, and he's a, you know, as far as we're concerned, great young man doing the things he needs to do. He just, he's got to be able to finish up this July session, and that'll decide whether he can or he can't.
One of the guys that's getting a lot of headlines, and anytime you talk about TCU football, it is all about defense. That's where you guys are always at the forefront nationally. And the return of your 6'4", 250, Devontae Fields. And I understand what he's been tabbed the preseason, Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. You got to love that he's going to be back with you guys.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of interesting. You know, he hasn't played in a year, so there's a lot of good players in our league. You know, and even on our team, you know, with Chucky Hunter. But, last year in the season, both Terrell Latham and Davion Pearson were probably guys that had better seasons, obviously, with Devontae, you know, not playing very much except the first and then Chucky. So, you know, you have some guys, the Terrell Latham being a 6'5", 290-pound defensive end that can play inside also, that runs a 4.6. So, for us, if Devontae comes back and plays at the level, and he really, you know, came on and really had a great summer, it obviously will help us as a defense as a whole. But, you know, I think we all, you know, appreciate the preseason accolades and what you do. But, you know, we all know you got to live up to it. You got to do the things you need to do to do it. And there's a lot of good players in our league. So for him, if he lives up to that expectation, then I think TCU is going to have an opportunity on defense to be highly successful, because there's some good players he's playing with.
How is Devontae? Is he 100%? Is he healthy? Has he had a good
summer?
Oh,
yeah, he's had a great summer.
Okay, we've been going one-on-one with Gary Patterson, TCU's head football coach, and I can promise you I certainly have the calendar marked for October the 4th as you face my Sooners, all right?
Well, they've got a good football team for sure.
They do. Thanks so much for dropping by, Gary. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at Twitter, at E Radio Sports, and we will be right back. Okay, we are back with you inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio, yahoosportsradio.com. And it is hard to believe that the National Football League, the preseason, will begin in 2 weeks with a game on August 3rd featuring the Giants and the Bills. So it is never too early to start analyzing all the favorites. That's why we have, once again, extended an invitation to our very own Sean Salisbury of YSR to get his perspective, his insight on the season ahead. But my first question to you, Sean, I know you're looking forward to your big road trip with all the gang out in Las Vegas. And you better be on your best behavior.
I always am. My mom lives there, and my sister, so I got no choice. You know, my mom still makes me take trash out and do all that. So, yes, it'll be family, and I'd love to get my son to fly in for a minute if he could. Uh-huh. But it'll be a great week for us, obviously, with our new deal with the Palazzo and being a part of that in the Venetian. And I think it'll be awesome. But who doesn't want to do sports in 100-degree weather in a nice hotel in Vegas in July? So I'm really excited about it, grateful for the relationship. But I got no children. Now, Granado, you had to worry about him. He'll be on the tables all day and all night and catch him and the whole group.
Uh-huh.
I'll be the guy that's refreshed and ready to go for the show. They'll all be heavy-eyed and wondering where their wallet went because they spent it all to tables.
So you guys won't be spending any time at the pool. You guys are like the tannest guys in radio between you and Granado.
He golfs. I'm out training quarterbacks and playing golf and doing the beach when I'm out on the West Coast. So, there's no question. And I'm double dipping. I got a quarterback I train in Vegas,
uh-huh.
and I'll be on the field with him early in the morning. And then a group's coming in from Arizona that I train. So my days are going to be spent 3.5 hours early in the morning from like 6 to 10. And then go do the show all day. So I'll get tanner, but it's a work trip for me. So I don't have the time to gamble like all these other clowns do. I'm a businessman.
So you're head down, hiney up, correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Well, listen, there's a number of NFL storylines we want you to get your perspective on. Let's start off with the reigning Super Bowl champions, your former team, the Seahawks. Can they repeat? I'm going to make it easy. Can they repeat as Super Bowl champs?
They can, but it's so tough, Big E. It is when you're thinking about having to go out there and stay hungry. And anybody that you ever talk to, they all say they stay hungry, but the natural progression in human nature is you maybe spend a little more time on the banquet circuit. Russell Wilson was doing some baseball trips. I'm not saying they're not focused. I mean, if Pete Carroll's great at it, if nothing else, which is he's great at a lot of things, is to be able to put a smile on these guys' face and make them take it serious, but in the process have fun doing it. He did it and changed SC, the face of USC. He's doing it in Seattle. So it's okay to have fun. The key is winning the first one's hard. winning the second one, especially if it's back-to-back, is even tougher. So it depends on how they come in. And I think this offseason, when everybody was complaining about the Richard Sherman wide receiver fight on the field, I loved it because it tells me they're still hungry, that they're not getting fat and happy, and that they're not saying, oh, we're the Super Bowl champions. We'll turn it up in August when training camp starts. So I'm really impressed with the way that they're going about their business. And I think there's enough great leadership and chip on their shoulder still, because they half the world thinks last year was a fluke. Oh, they couldn't have done that. You can't play that well again back to back. And there's even teams that think they can manhandle the Seahawks. So I think they're special. I think they got better, and a quarterback will be a year wiser. As long as that defense continues to stay hungry and they don't turn it over, they'll have a chance. But man, is that their division is brutal. The NFC is brutal. I don't think they'll repeat, but I'm going to tell you, not since the New England Patriots have I felt the team was this good and good enough to repeat. The key is how much they beat each other up in that division, because all four teams can play defense.
Well, Seattle, if they were to repeat, they would be the ninth team to do that. You're talking about Russell Wilson. I mean, he really is. He's got a different vibe to him. He's a different kind of a cat. Sean, I mean, you're a former NFL quarterback. What is the most impressive aspect of his game?
You know what? I said this before he even teed it up, and maybe the first month of last year, Big E, is that I felt that he was as poised as any player in the league. Not second-year player. I'm talking about as any quarterback. You go down the list and say, okay, unflappable. See, I always believe that great athletes, Jordan, I don't care who it is, Joe Montana, when the temperature of a game goes up, when it's at its most, when the rest of us are choking on our own spit because we can't focus, their blood pressure goes down. And I'm being serious. If you took Michael Jordan's blood pressure in the key of a game, I'll bet you it's lower than his resting heart rate when he's just hanging out. I believe that. And I think Montana was the same. There's an ability, and I don't know if you're born with it, if you can get it, but to gather yourself and play your best at the hardest time. I think Russell Wilson's like that. Now, he's got some things to do in the pocket as a passer, but the most impressive thing for me is his poise under pressure, that PUP, the ability to relax and to take care of his business and not let the chaos of a football game, even when he's playing poorly, to take over. And he has an innate ability to do that. I love him, and he will continue to work. The key here, and I've been divorced. I've seen athletes, and when you're going through girl struggles, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I'm going to keep a close eye on a gal who's been his wife and girl for a long time. When something like that happens, you can't help but human nature to be affected by it. The key is, how much will the effect off the field affect him on the field? And can he continue to be that guy that kind of hangs his adversity outside the door and when he goes into the building to play? And I think he can, but you never wish that upon anybody. But how he overcomes that will be interesting as well this year.
You're talking about how Russell Wilson, how he will embrace the pressure and kind of go through some difficulties off the field. What about Seattle? How will they handle the pressure of their own success?
I think they're already handling it pretty well. They, like I said, you always, I believe that whether you win or lose, you take on the personality of your leader. And on that team, you take, now Richard's a leader, Richard Sherman, but Richard is the talker. But Pete's kind of, Pete's got a cockiness. Pete Carroll has got an arrogance about him, but it's a good arrogance. Russell Wilson, while he seems to be so humble and gracious, but you can't be as successful as him and not have this belief that we can do it again. You must, the single-minded, focused, I don't know if it's an arrogance, a football confidence that says, yeah, of course I can do it again. And the great ones say one's not enough, that the second one will be more of a dagger to the rest of the league than the first one, because now we're going to show people that, yes, we can, after an offseason of writing books and going to banquets and doing commercials and being on the cover of Madden, that we can refocus. And I think there's enough intelligence, enough toughness, and enough good football players on there that they can. And you know what? When you look at Cam Chancellor and Russell Wilson and Marshawn Lynch, they're just not mentally and emotionally strong teams. Let's just face facts. They're physical, full-grown men. And I think that when you're playing in that division with the 49ers, you can't help but want to be competitive, because if you don't, you're going to have a good supply of body bags on the field because everybody's so physical. So they're a unique team. They really are. They've had some losses this offseason, but also had some gains. We'll see coming out early in training camp and in the first month of the season just how into it they are, because you can't get down in that division.
And you certainly can't ease into it. Hey, Sean Salisbury is joining us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. And Sean, of course, you played many, many years in the NFL. What does it take to be a winning quarterback at that level?
I wish I knew. No, you know what? Obviously, you have to be born.
You had longevity in the league.
Yes, 10 years of it. But I'll tell you what, and being around, more importantly than me playing it, but being around, I learned one thing. you know, two knee injuries and not having an ACL and having to fight through that part of it made me a tougher, better player, which I didn't appreciate when I was in high school and college and everything seemed to come easy to you. But being around Warren Moon and talking to Dan Marino and talking to Steve Young and playing with some great players, more importantly than not just what I learned, but watching other guys do it and being a backup to some of these, Jim McMahon, all of them had different, McMahon, who had a great ability. And this is one of my favorite, to me, when I'm training quarterbacks, I say the first thing you must have is a toughness. When they say, what do you mean by toughness? So you can fight somebody? No. When you apply physical toughness to be able to stand back there and get hit in the chin and still deliver the ball. Because I asked Dan Fouts when I was playing years ago, who may be the best pocket passer we've ever had, or the toughest pocket passer. I would, before a game the Saturday, I was getting ready to start, and Dan was broadcasting. And I said, Dan, what's the number one thing a quarterback has to have to prove that he's a leader? He said, you better put your foot in the ground and grit your teeth and take a shot in the mouth so your teammates appreciate that you're willing to stand back there for them as they are for you. And it's the truth. That was the greatest part of leadership. So I tell my quarterbacks, I need mental and emotional toughness and physical toughness to where when you're 6 out of 20, your wife hates you, your girlfriends are booing you, the coach doesn't even want to look at you, the fans are telling you how bad you stink, can you still overcome that and win? McMahon was great at that. He could go 6 out of 24 and still find a way to win. And then the emotion to keep it in check, like Warren Moon, I could never tell if he threw 5 interceptions or 5 touchdowns. It was always the same. And he's got a lot of Russell Wilson, and I talked to Warren about him. They're very similar, and Warren has spent some time because he's the broadcaster in Seattle. So to me, the great ones are able to take ordinary and make it extraordinary. You take a 6 and make him a 9. You take a 9 and make him a 10. And if you got a 10 or a guy that's that good, you keep him there. So for me, the number one thing is your ability to deal with all the crazy stuff around you, and as far as the physical part, accuracy. You got to be able to know who to get and how to get him and throw it on time and to the right guy.
What is your belief, that toughness can be learned?
I do believe that you can learn some of it, but I think the emotional toughness, a lot of times you either have or you don't. The ability to say, I don't care what everybody else is thinking except my teammates. And it's a hard thing to do. I think a lot of great leaders are born with it, but you can enhance it. I don't know if you can completely change it 180 degrees, but you can adjust it.
Well, one of the guys that certainly has enhanced it with the Seattle Seahawks, of course, is head coach Pete Carroll. In my estimation, I really believe that he is perhaps undervalued in the NFL.
No question. He's getting paid like he deserves, but as far as undervalue, I think because Pete's so fun-loving, people don't think he's serious. A Super Bowl and a dominant team. Pete's as serious as it gets when he needs to be. I think he's got a good mix of understanding life and football.
No doubts that about his ability to coach. Sean, it's always a pleasure to have you working some overtime before the big road trip.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure. Stick around. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, on this Friday night. Okay, Lissa Walker-Campbell with you inside the Quicken Loans studios at Yahoo Sports Radio. And right now it is time to shift gears. We are going to talk about some NBA free agency, get our refresher after all of the madness. And we are so delighted to have back with us this evening from NBA.com, that is Jeff Kaplan. Good evening, Jeff. It's nice to have you with us.
Well, thank you. Nice to be here.
Well, it's been a very big week for you out in Las Vegas covering Summer League 2014. Of course, I was out there last weekend. Certainly thrilled to have an opportunity to watch some of the young, the upcoming stars in the league. What are some of your early takeaways from all the action and what you've been able to see so far?
Well, you know, it's I guess any Summer League, it's really mixed. I think it's sometimes hard for these rookies to get a really good feel. You know, they're playing with a lot of guys they've never played with before, a lot of guys who won't be in the league. And so I think it can be tough. We've seen some really nice performances from Doug McDermott, the great shooter from Creighton, who is on his way with the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the first night here, Andrew Wiggins, of course, I missed that. You were probably here for that.
I was. Mm-hmm.
But Wiggins and Jabari Parker, you know, squared off in what was probably the biggest crowd in Summer League, you know, since it's been in Vegas like this. So it's pretty exciting. You know, a kid I like is Dennis Schroeder, the second-year point guard for Atlanta. And he put up a 30-point game on Sunday. In fact, you know, he's a youngster from Germany, the first, you know, pick from Germany since Dirk. And he had to leave watching the World Cup on Sunday to go to his basketball game in Summer League, and then ended up putting up 30 points. So it's a good day for him. But you know, a lot of talk around out here more on the business side, some of the big contracts that have gone down, and obviously LeBron switching addresses back to Cleveland. And, you know, really in general, business is good for the NBA. Like I said, contracts are booming right now in free agency, and people are looking forward to the TV deals in a couple of years and really see this as sort of a boom time for the NBA.
Jeff Kaplan from NBA.com is joining us at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. And Jeff, I think you nailed it. I mean, this was my third year to attend Summer League. And stepping back, I mean, I'm absolutely amazed just how much the popularity, how much it has grown. The following, you were referencing, talking about that game last Friday night with Parker and Wiggins with the Bucks and the Cavs matchup. I mean, it was tough to secure a seat. I mean, you're just continuing to see the growth with this game.
Yeah, and more teams are coming out to Vegas. You know, the Summer League used to be a much quieter event, and there were different leagues, if you want to call them that, in different places. Salt Lake City, Orlando has still held on to theirs. So there's, you know, Boston had one, and L.A. There's different areas where, you know, a handful of teams would congregate and really not play in front of many fans. It was more executives, coaches, insiders watching these guys play basketball. But now, you know, Warren Legere, who is an agent who represents, a majority of the coaches in the NBA and in the D-League, started out as an international agent, representing international players. This was his vision to sort of grow a league in Vegas. And, I mean, it's up to, I think, 23 of the 30 NBA teams are here. There's a team made up of all D-League players. There's 24 teams here. They play a sort of a group format and then go into a tournament format, which they're in now, and crown a champion. And, I mean, this is the mecca of everything now. I mean, the front office meetings are here. The league meetings are here at this time. Of course, USA Basketball holds their camp right after Summer League. So, I mean, for 3 weeks, this is really the mecca of the NBA.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, you continue to see just the growth spurt in the NBA and what is taking place. Just another quick hit. Who are some additional Summer League prospects that have the best chance of making an NBA roster?
Well, I mean, gosh, making a roster, that's hard to say. I mean, you can go up and down the first round. Guy I watched last night who's obviously going to make the roster is Dallas's own Randall out of Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And he played pretty well last night. And again, it's difficult to sometimes pinpoint, you know, or see these guys in this setting. They're so fresh. And again, the basketball is pretty rugged out here. It's not an easy brand of basketball.
Uh-huh.
on the eyes. And so, you know, all of your first round guys obviously are going to make teams. And then, you just have to look into your second round guys. And I wish I had a list in front of me right now that I could go through and think about who I've seen playing. A lot of my time here in Vegas isn't spent necessarily watching the games and sort of scouting the players, but more so engaging with some of the front office people, the coaches, while these games are going on and sort of getting a feel for the league itself beyond Summer League and as we get into, you know, some of the rosters that have changed over and who likes who and who feels who's going where and that sort of thing.
Okay, Jeff Kaplan is with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Of course, he's with NBA.com, and I definitely want to get your thoughts as we're talking about free agency. Obviously, the big winner is the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the LeBron James sweepstakes. What was your reaction on how LeBron made his announcement and that his return to the Cavaliers?
Well, it was certainly interesting the way it came out, obviously, and
that essay,
well thought out, heartfelt essay or letter, uh-huh. however you want to call it. And I, you know, as time was going on and his decision was taking longer and longer, you certainly got the message that Cleveland was definitely in the running, and then that was probably in the lead because the longer this strung out, where Cleveland, you know, he was sort of dangling Cleveland out there as a place that he definitely could go, and it was between Cleveland and Miami. You really felt he had to go back to Cleveland because how could he sort of do this to the Cleveland fans a second time? You know, you can't get their hopes up like that and then pull the rug out from under them again. And obviously his essay, showed that his heart is in Cleveland, and he made a business decision 4 years ago, and now he's made more of a sentimental decision. And, it's interesting that that's not a ready-made championship team, but in the East, it can certainly contend, and it'll be interesting to see how quickly he can lift up, a Kyrie Irving and Andrew Wiggins and really make a competitive team.
Well, no doubt about it. It's certainly, I thought, my takeaway was it was beautifully written, and I'm coming home, four-time NBA MVP, explains his return to the Cavaliers. So also, let's move ahead. A big sigh of relief from the Knicks fans that Carmelo will return. What's your forecast, Jeff, on the Knicks and with some of their offseason moves and the addition of Larkin and Jose Calderon? I mean, how are they going to do in the East?
Well, you know, I think they can do okay in the East. You know, again, the East is just it's wide open. And I'm not suggesting that the Knicks are really anywhere near the top, say, to contend with. Yes, Cleveland. I think Toronto should be quite good. Washington, we know, is on their way up. You know, so I don't know if they're quite at that level. But, you know, Calderon's going to add steadiness there. Of course, they lose Tyson Chandler. Look, if they can get to 500 or above this season, I think that's success. Where Pat Riley, where Phil Jackson really needs to go to work, obviously, is next summer when guys like Stoudemire, Bargnani, those huge contracts come off the books. And the Knicks, for the first time in this CBA era, where salary cap is everything, where you can go after, you know, the max free agents, they will finally have that. You know, if a guy like Kevin Love is still available, they'll be able to, you know, battle the Lakers for his services. 2016, obviously, Kevin Durant comes up. hey, LeBron can be a free agent next year, too.
Right.
So, you know, we think that's just a financial situation more so than him wanting to survey the landscape. But Phil Jackson's work is ahead in the coming summers. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that Carmelo just went for the money. It was a money grab. And I guess on one hand, that's hard to argue. He had a sort of a ready-made fit in Chicago. But I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I wrote a piece yesterday saying, hey, if we're going to lavish praise on LeBron for going home, suggesting that his happiness, his family's happiness, that you know, home is where the heart is, with his whole thing, well, then let's give a little benefit of the doubt to Carmelo that he stayed where his family is happy, where he really wants to play, where bringing a championship to would be far more meaningful to bring one to New York than for him to bring another one to Chicago, you know, following the Michael Jordan era. So, you know, just like the Knicks, they're a long-suffering team, a long drought since, what, 1973, since their last title. So, a lot like LeBron says, he wants to bring a title to how meaningful it would be to Cleveland. You know, let's say, hey, maybe Melo is thinking the same way. And look, the Knicks could give him the most money. There's no doubt about that. And that's not Melo's fault. That's part of the CBA. So, you know, count that as an extra bonus for him. But maybe he was genuine in the fact that that's where he's happy, his family's happy, and that's where he wants to play.
Okay, Jeff Kaplan from NBA.com has been with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always a pleasure, Jeff. Enjoy your time out in Las Vegas, and we'll catch up with you again real soon up in Dallas, okay?
All right, Alyssa, thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead this weekend at YSR and the Big E Sports Show.